Hello and welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. This week, bookmark birds, the Orchard on the Hill hat, and finding a sports weight project for me. Hello, this is episode 43 of The Ordinary Knitter. My name is Heather, and you can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry as Ordinary Knitting. It's nice to be back. I'm still unsure in my mind whether this should be a weekly podcast ongoing, or perhaps whether to go to monthly, but that's not why I missed last week. I picked up another cold, and I had quite a cough as well. Seems to be a bit of a feature these days when I get a cold, so nobody wanted to listen to that. My voice is still a little bit sick, but excuse me, I'm largely okay. My dad didn't believe me when I said I had a cold until I started coughing fit to bust at the rugby on Saturday afternoon, so I hope you believe me. So I've been up to a few small projects since we spoke last. I think that's partly, again, why I've thought about moving to a monthly podcast, because I feel like I haven't had any really meaty projects to discuss. The things that have been passing through my hands have all felt a bit light and fluffy, and as if they're not much to talk about. But what the hell, someone else has taken my son swimming, so I've got a little bit of time, so why not? If you've listened before, you'll know that I started off with really highfalutin ideas for something to knit for Mother's Day. But as time wore on and the small matter of taking a month out to knit a jumper for my daughter, I ended up in a bit of a rush. But that's nothing new with my knitting projects. I'm normally galloping to keep up with myself and knitting against the clock. You know, think about what it's like at Christmas, and it seems to be like that for me all year round. So I really had to scale back what I was planning to do, and it got to that stage where I was looking for a small, easy, quick project that was a gift that I would actually feel like, you know, I wanted to give to my mother for Mother's Day. And I ended up finding a free download. It's called Bookmark Birds, a Claire Garland knitting pattern. That's C-L-A-I-R-E. And they're really sweet. The picture with the pattern shows six of them in a variety of colours. And I thought, oh yes, what a great idea. I'll knit her an entire aviary of bookmark birds. You know how many I did. Yeah, that's right, I managed one. But that's life. I should have just been pleased that I managed the one and leave it at that. So I made one out of a sport weight yarn called, Fancy Yarn Grey Glamour, which says nothing about my mother. And it's one of the ones I bought from Aldi in the last sort of year. I bought... They do multi-packs, and these are little 50-gram skeins. I don't think the idea is that you actually wear anything you make from this. Although, handling it, and when I was knitting with it, and, you know, now fondling the skein, it doesn't feel crunchy. Some yarns, it's a grey with a silver fleck in it. And sometimes yarns like this, you just, a bit wriggly, you know, you can feel that metallic yarn, it's a little bit uncomfortable, but this doesn't feel too bad. I'm not sure I'd go to the lengths of knitting myself a top in it, but, you know, I might maybe risk a winter accessory like a cowl. I've mentioned before my growing love of cowls. Cowls are for me what shawls are for some people, and I can see that I might well create myself a cowl out of that nice yarn. So it's a sport weight, and which is, I think that's what this pattern was written for, but it doesn't really matter if it wasn't. I'm just quickly looking. Oh yes, actually, sport weight yarn, there you go. So that's what I made this out of. It's a quick knit. You're knitting a flat shape that you then halve, you sort of fold it in half so that all your selvages are matching, and you seam it and you stuff as you go along. Oh, that's the theory. Looking at the picture, I can see now that I should have left the tail, I should have left the end sort of centimetre flat and only started seaming from that point inwards. I was, unsurprisingly, doing it at a bit of a gallop, so I didn't check with the picture and I seamed the whole thing. But it doesn't really matter. It's one of those where, you know, it's beautiful if you do it how it's meant to be done in the picture, but no one's going to look at it and go, I'm sure that tail bit shouldn't have been seamed. So it was an enjoyable quick little knit. I posted a picture of it on Instagram. At one point, you start at the tail end and then this flat shape expands out in the middle to give you the body of the bird. And I persistently had an extra stitch at one point, which I just couldn't work out. But I just knitted two together at one point, and you couldn't tell just by looking. So I was saying that stuffing as you go along is a great theory. This is because the theory is that you have wadding. My mother, ironically, had my wadding. I think this is from one of her many forays into making clangers over the last year. I couldn't really ask for my wadding back a few days short of Mother's Day, because that would have been a bit obvious. So I thought at one point, perhaps I should try some old tights or something like that. But I made a tortoise for my children a few years ago, and I stuffed him with old tights, and it's just a lump fest. So I thought, rather than do it badly, how about I don't do it at all? And it's a small enough project that I got away with it. In fact, I think had it been stuffed with wadding, although it's very light, it would have made it, you'd have had quite a bulky sort of thing hanging around out of the top of your book. So arguably, it actually works better not stuffed. My other howler was that, because it's a bookmark, you hang a piece of ribbon, or sew in, on the stomach of the bird, and this hangs through the book, and this is the bit that actually functions as the bookmark. And one of the reasons why I had chosen to make this bird out of the silvery grey yarn is that I still have ribbon offcuts, because when I made Ivy, instead of knitting knitted ties to go round the body, Ivy is a wrap top, I chose to use ribbon, which is not just because I'm lazy about knitting the ties. I actually thought the ribbon would look rather nice, and I've never regretted it, actually. For me, it's just a touch that just gives it something that I really like, even though, obviously being me, I sewed the ties on really badly, and one of them is going to need some attention before I can wear it again. But that's just my cack-handedness. I am terrible at sewing. But my theory was, I'll use one of these bits, that'll work perfectly. Could I find the yarn offcut? Could I? I think Mother's Day was a Sunday. I think we were on Saturday night by this stage. And because on that particular day, plans just hadn't worked out as expected, I thought it was possible that I might have to drop this in at my parents' house quite early on the Sunday morning. So I really couldn't go to bed on Saturday night without having done it, because I didn't want to have to do it in 30 seconds flat on Sunday morning. It would turn a bodge job into a disaster. So in the end, I cut three pieces of this silver yarn, and I made a plait and sort of fudged that in to the body of the bird. So having originally thought, great, I'll make this stuffed bird with a piece of ribbon hanging off it, I ended up with a flat bird with a yarn plait hanging off it. But, you know, my mum said all the right thing, because that's what mums do. And of course, shortly after that, I found the ribbon offcuts. The Orchard on the Hill hat. This I started in October, November, making it for a charity group. They give hats to people who need them, perhaps in the village, that sort of thing. Or they might give them to the hospital for somebody who, you know, would benefit from a hat. I've been given all of the four ply to use, because I said that I liked doing things like socks and mittens. I was given the four ply, and I decided that of all the things that I could make, given that the run up to Christmas for me was dominated by socks and mittens, I decided that I would make a hat instead. Because although I made several of the Capitan hats last year, generally hats aren't something I consider that I knit many of, so I quite fancied doing it for a bit of a change. But initially, with this charity group that I go to, the knitting I did, because I had so much other knitting to get on with to a deadline, I was doing the knitting only when I was at the group, which was an hour and a half once a fortnight if I made it. So you can imagine how long it took me just to get the ribbing done. But I did get it done. And over the last few weeks, well, a couple of weeks, I've had a little bit more time for knitting during the day because I've had to take my daughter to a few appointments and I've had some time while she's been in. And I've made progress because it's 4-ply, because it's only a hat, it's a little project. I could probably stuff it in my handbag, in a sandwich bag, but I use my nice red with white spots small project bag that a friend got me as a present a couple of years ago. So I've been carrying this with me, and I've been doing it in the car at school while I've been waiting for my children to come out. And progress has been reasonably good. It's slow progress. Given the type of pattern that it is, there's a lot of texture and sort of happening in it. So it's everything in the pattern is done in multiples of 12. And I think there are possibly even, well, maybe 10 sets of 12 stitches, something like that. So when you have a set of 12 that includes two cables, several yarn overs, SSK, K2 TOG, etc., etc., you can't zoom ahead. Well, I can't zoom ahead with the pattern memorised. I find I have to quite frequently check in with the pattern. So for me, it's quite slow. On the more involved rounds, it can take me 10 minutes to do a round. And especially the ones with cable as well, particularly because you're only cabling one stitch at a time. So, you know, how would you describe it? I think of it has extra surface area of time. If I was inserting the cable needle and doing this and that and actually dispatching more stitches in one go, then it wouldn't seem quite so time consuming. But there you go. So it's slow, but I'm quite enjoying it. You go all the way through the, I think it's 20, it's a 20 row pattern. Initially, so you go all through your set of 20, and then the next time you go as far as row 17, and from that point onwards you do decrease rounds. So I'm on about row 8 of my second go round, so I'm at least halfway there. And if you think how long it takes to do, gosh, it was 15 or even 20 rounds of 1x1 ribbing. So you think how long all that takes. I've got to be at least halfway there, probably more. I'm enjoying it, but I will be quite glad, I think, to get on to something which isn't quite so demanding of my attention. Because some of these rounds are so involved, I can't hold a conversation and knit. I can't watch TV and knit. And in fact, the Very Pink Knits podcast recently was answering a question which was essentially saying, is it rude of me to go to a family gathering and sit and knit? And Stacey made the distinction between that kind of mindless knitting where you can knit and knit and knit and chat to somebody, or the sort of knitting where you're constantly having to look away at your chart. And the Orchard on the Hill hat for me is very much having to look away at the chart, which is why progress has been even slower than it needs to be. So although I'm enjoying it, it will be nice to get back to something which doesn't suck me in quite to the same extent. And just purely for this charity group, I think I might do some socks now that we're really getting past the hat and gloves time of year, and we have to think about what the people in the village, in the hospital, etc., what's likely to be useful to them through the summer months. They're probably not going to want mittens. Some socks might be nice. So the socks I've done have all tended to be either chunky or man socks, because I make them for my husband. So I think I would quite like to make some of the lighter, slightly more fancy ladies socks for ladies that I see on Ravelry, maybe some with a cable pattern or things like that. So I'd quite enjoy having a go at those. And they shouldn't be, no, I say they shouldn't be too involved. I mean, that depends, doesn't it, on the complexity of the decorative elements. But even so, you know, I know what I'm doing with socks. So I like to think that I could undertake a sock project and, you know, get on with it fairly well and still be able to make eye contact with people. I've been looking for a sports weight project to knit for myself. I bought myself, and then gave to my husband to give to the children, to give to me for Christmas, some lovely lilac sport weight yarn. And I must have 50, 100, 200, 240, about 600 grams of this stuff, which I think is enough to knit myself a top. And I've been scouring Ravelry and the wider web, looking for a V-neck or a scoop neck light summer style top, but I just can't find anything that I really like. There are things that are okay, but I think given the amount of work that goes into it and that I actually need this as an item of clothing to wear, because I'm a bit low on clothes, haven't really been able to buy myself that sort of constant background of a new top here, or, you know, the odd new pair of trousers here, and I haven't really been able to do that for a little while, so it's all starting to get, I'm starting to feel a bit shabby. Although, I suppose, coming into the warmer weather, some of the things that I have been wearing, you know, I won't be wearing for much longer over the next few weeks, which will help. But also, as I get older, my style changes a little bit. I don't necessarily want to be swanning around in spaghetti strap tops all the time. I like the idea of something with a little bit more to it, perhaps, now that there's a little bit more to me. So that's the sort of thing that I've been looking for, and I've not had a lot of success, and for the first time, it made me understand why, and I sound like I worship Stacey Perry, I don't, it's just that she talks a lot of sense, and much of what she says are things that have crossed my mind already, or that, you know, suddenly I'm thinking, oh, I really understand now why she says that, because she doesn't keep stash. She has odds and ends of things that are left over from doing a project, and obviously she gets sent yarn to review and so on, but she doesn't do what us mere mortals do of thinking, oh, that's gorgeous, I'm buying a sweater quantity of that. So she doesn't have this vast amount. I'm not going to turn around and look at my stash, because I know what I'm going to see, loads and loads of yarn that I've been telling myself I'm going to use. Yeah, on the other hand, it does mean that when things like my daughter wanted a jumper, I had everything we needed right to hand without having to think twice about whether I could afford to go and spend 30 quid on yarn. So that's nice. But I do understand now that I've got all this yarn. I want a pattern to use or to make up with this yarn. And I can't find it. And I sort of thought, I suppose it is a bit the wrong way round, isn't it? I should be finding the pattern that I like, and then acquiring the yarn to go with it. Although, because I can't wear wool, I'm a little bit nervous about just using the yarn that's stipulated in a pattern, because it may well be something that I don't particularly get on with. So, it just, suddenly I thought, yeah, actually I see why you wouldn't buy a huge quantity, or huge, you know, a reasonable quantity of yarn in the expectation that you'll find a pattern. Although, of course, if you're Stacey Perry, you can design yourself something. I'm not confident to do that. I feel like I've had to do quite a lot of fudging and bodging and making it up as I go along with patterns over the last little while, and I would really just like something that I can sit down and follow from the outset. There was one pattern that I started. It revels in the name of S6346 Lady Sweater. It's originally by Coates, but the sort of brand namey thing on the PDF that I downloaded is Shashenmeyer, so I don't quite know where that comes in. And to look at this pattern, it's a ribbed top with a scoop neck and a short but not super short sleeve, and it's hard to describe how the ribbing works, but it's quite a broad rib up to sort of mid bust, and from that point upwards the rib changes almost to sort of somewhere a cross between ribbing and net. And it sort of looks quite nice, and I thought it's a bit different. I don't think you'd overheat with that slightly more open texture on the upper part of the bodice, but it's kind of complicated to knit. There's room for interpretation on the way that the rib pattern chart is laid out. I would call it minimal. It's minimalistic. I think they could have explained that a bit more, but the main thing was that I cast on for they have a size which is 40 to 42 inch around the bust. So that's the size I went for. And after I had done about 10 or 15 rounds, no, not rounds, you knit it flat, as I was doing the back, it was huge. And I just thought, this is ridiculous. You know, it's not as if there's some curiosity of construction where the back makes up three quarters of the thing, you know. So I just thought, no, that's just daft. This thing's going to hang off me, which wasn't what I wanted. And ultimately, you know, it's a nice enough top, but I just wasn't motivated enough to cast on again with a smaller needle size. And I mean, I, you know, if I can't find anything I like, I might ultimately do that. But I think in the end, also, I wasn't quite sure about this effect up on the top of the bodice. You know, I quite like it, but it is a bit different. And I don't know, did I see it as a sign? Maybe I just wanted it to be. So in the end, I ripped it out. And I've sort of put it to one side. I'm hoping, as we come into the nicer weather in the Northern Hemisphere, I'm hoping that more of these sorts of patterns will be released, as you know, on a seasonal basis. So I'm keeping an eye on Ravelry, and this might sound wrong, but I have commonly used free patterns. It's partly because I don't have a huge budget to spend, but also I believe in open source as an ethos. I'm always very, very happy to share anything that I can of mine in any form, intellectual, material, help, time, anything like that. And I like this as a basis, and so I've tended to go for free patterns with one or two exceptions. But having myself try, I mean, design is a bit of a glamorous word. I don't think I can really dignify what I've tried to do with the word design, but having tried to put together a few things of my own over the last little while and realised just how difficult and time consuming it is, I now feel that I'm very happy, when I feel I can afford it, I'm very happy to pay for a pattern, because it's an absolute recognition on my part of everything that the designer has had to pull together in order to get that design out there. And it's a recognition of the work that they've put out. I'm still fundamentally an open source kind of girl, but in this instance, yes, fair enough, you know, I'm happy. So when I say I've been scouring the web and so on for looking for patterns, you know, that's things I could pay for as well, and I still haven't really found anything that I like. So, you know, if you see anything you think I might like, it's got to have a V or a scoop neck. I don't do a normal round neck, and I'd like a sleeve of some description, and, you know, a normal sort of length, not down to my knees, but not tummy button bearing either. You know, let me know. The other thing that I've been looking for is a hairnet pattern. I know that makes me sound like Ina Sharples from Coronation Street. Google it. But as I have curly hair that can get quite frizzy after a night's sleep, I've been looking for a simple pattern of something that will just kind of keep my hair in place and protect it a bit overnight. I think I've mentioned this before. I got some free yarn, which isn't at my... I'm in my office and the free yarn's in the sitting room. I got sent a skein of yarn completely for free, even free postage last year, which I have spoken about in another episode, so I'll link to that. And it's a 4-ply. It's not enough for socks or anything, and also I don't know if it's quite that weight, you know, that sort of durability. But I thought it would be the perfect thing. So I started looking about. I did find several patterns, but they needed a hard, rigid headband inside them, which obviously wouldn't be any good at night, or you had to sew elastic into a sort of a, like a, I was going to say a hem, that's not quite the right word, is it? But you fold over and seam and you put elastic inside, and it's not completely beyond me, but, you know, this podcast may as well have been entitled Never Gonna Be a Sewer, because I'm not. And I tend to avoid things like that. So if I really can't find anything else, and if I'm really sufficiently motivated, I might end up making something like that. But so far, those two things together have put me off. I think I just assumed that any design I found would cleverly avoid the need for that sort of thing. I suppose I imagined something that would maybe even have ribbing. I mean, you're getting into hat territory there, but possibly I could improvise myself, you know, something with a ribbed seam so that it stays more or less where it's meant to on the head, and an open style of crown. But, you know, that I would be starting from a position of almost total ignorance as how to create something like that. Many of the things that I found were crochet patterns, and I have said that at some point I'm going to look crochet in the eye and I'm going to try to get the hang of it. Because if you can get the hang of knitting, you have to be able to get the hang of crochet. You know, although obviously there's a significant difference of having only the one tool and not one in each hand, I still can't believe that if you can do the one, you can't do the other. So we'll see. It's another one of those. I have to be sufficiently motivated, but maybe I will. New to me. Talking of socks, I've said that maybe that might be my next four-ply project for this charity group. Just last night, I saw a reference on Instagram to the Sweet Tomato Heel by Kat Bawdy. I don't know if you've heard of it. I had never heard of it. I get the impression it's relatively recent. So I went and looked it up because, you know, I'd obviously clocked that it was something to do with socks, but I had no idea what the details were. And it's a variation on a short row heel. I'll put a link in the show notes to the page that Kat Bawdy has put up about it. And in her page, she's got a book out called Sweet Tomato Heel Socks, which I have to say could be quite tempting, actually. Because she says in the blurb for the book that she gives the patterns for any type of way that you want to knit. And I knit my socks two at a time, magic loop, toe up. And looking at the socks that she was showing in the video, she knits toe up as well. And so there's a very interesting page. The book really could be quite tempting. And she includes a link to a video of the Sweet Tomato Heel, and she really does show you exactly how to do it. It's not one of these teaser videos. It's 15 minutes long, and she literally shows you what she's doing. And if you've used short row heels before, the concept of slipping and turning is familiar, but she has this neat little sort of, I say trick, I mean it is and it isn't, it makes a lot of sense, but you know, she had the brainwave to come up with it, and it solves any problems of gaps or anything in heels. So I really would be quite interested to try that, and I'm not quite sure what $20 is in pounds. The way the pound is going against the dollar, it's probably going to be my monthly food budget's worth, but I might be tempted. Perhaps I might have to wait. This year is slipping through my fingers already, so it's probably not too daft to ask for it for Christmas. But it's quite tempting. So the Sweet Tomato Heel is, that's my new discovery. And unlike some of my new discoveries, something that I'd be quite tempted to try. That's me for this week. Thank you very much for listening. And I apologise for my voice being a little bit all over the place. Don't forget Knitting Hour on Twitter, 7:30 to 8:30 on Thursday evenings. It completely passed me by last Thursday night. I don't know what I was doing, but I suddenly realised it was about 9:15, unfortunately. So do join in. There are an interesting bunch of people and some lovely projects to have a look at. I'm not sure if I'll be here next week. It is half term, not that that needs to be a problem. Not half term, Easter holidays, not that that needs to be a problem. But I'll have a think about whether to keep this weekly when I'm not in some way prevented from doing it, or whether to move on to make it a little bit less frequent. Okay, look forward to talking to you again whenever that might be. Bye.